Thank you for joining us today. You're listening to Awakened Radio.
Today we are in part two of week three of our current series, Lies We Believe. If you have missed any of this series, I want to encourage you to go back into our archives and walk through this series with us from Matthew chapter 4.
If the first temptation was physical, then the second temptation was psychological. What's he saying to Jesus? If you are the Son of God, then do something spectacular to where people will follow you. If you are the Son of God, then do something miraculous that people will see it and they'll follow you. What's he saying? He's saying, if you're the Son of God, then why is no one following you? If you're the Son of God, then why aren't you drawing great crowds? If you are the Son of God, then why does no one know who you are, Jesus? Psychological. And let me tell you, he'll do the exact same thing to us. There is a need inside of us as humans to want approval. There is a need within us to seek, to desire recognition. And he's trying to play on this human part of Jesus. And he's saying, Jesus, if you were who you think you are, people would be following you, but they're not. So do something spectacular. See, the temple was the most populated place of Jerusalem. I mean, this is where all of the buzz happened in all of the holy city. And he took him up on this pinnacle and he said, listen, all the people that's around here, they'll see you jump. And when they see the angels catch you, they'll know you're the Son of God. How subtle. And then do you know what he does? What do we say? His temptations evolve. They grow in being subtle. And what's he do? He quotes scripture. Now remember, what's the purpose of this great temptation? It's not to see what Jesus would do. Jesus is going to hold. He's not going to sin. There was never even a question of whether or not Jesus would sin. So what's the purpose? It's to show us how to deal with the devil. It's to show us how to handle his temptations. So what does Satan do? He comes and he goes, Jesus, if you are who you say you are, do something spectacular. Do something that people will see and then they'll follow you. Right now, you have no followers. See, this is before he called his disciples. There's no one following Jesus. He's saying to Jesus, you're 30-some years old and no one's even following you. You know the old saying, if you think you're a leader and no one's behind you, you're just taking a walk. And he said, Jesus, if you are who you say you are, then why is no one following you? This is what the temptation's about. It's he's saying, Jesus, you do this and you'll get man's approval. You'll do this and you'll get man's applause. You do something spectacular and people will believe you. See how subtle that is? And then to make it worse, he quotes a scripture. What he's saying is, Jesus, you quoting scripture? Well, how about this? You say you believe the Bible? Well, let me quote you this, and he quotes Psalm 91. His angels, give his angels charge. Not allow your foot to strike against the stone. But do you know what he did? See, he is a liar, and there's no truth in him. Even when he quotes scripture, he's not speaking truth. He twisted. He misquoted it. He did the same thing in the Garden of Eden. What have we said over and over in this series? He has a very short playbook. And if you can understand his playbook, and thank God, the Bible shows us the playbook of Satan. And you can see the plays he's running. We'll handle him, amen? We can handle it. Very, very short playbook. So he misquotes, just as he misquoted what God said to Eve. Has God truly said this? That's what he asked Eve. Is this what God meant? Are you sure you understand what God said? Didn't God say this? And he misquotes. Well, he misquotes Psalm 91. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, it's a very interesting scripture, and it's one that every church would do well to examine. Peter said that the things that Paul write can be very difficult to understand, but here's what he said. And Peter said they twist it to their own destruction. Now think about that. Let me ask you a question. Why is there every kind of church under the sun and they all believe something different? Have you ever wondered that? Why are there so many religions? Why are there so many teachings? I grew up in a Baptist church, and how many different Baptists are there? Independent, primitive, Southern, free will. I don't know, there's more. There's so many different teachings, so many different beliefs, so many different this, so many different that. Even in evangelical circles, there's so many different spinoffs. Why? Because listen, here's the danger. People take Scripture and they twist it. They twist it. Some of it's very subtle. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to agree with everyone on everything. That's why, for me personally, when Pastor Kilpatrick came, he said, "Chad, I can't believe how many denominations were represented." He said, "Being an outsider," he said, "that really shows me the leadership of your church and that you have favor with other people." And listen, there ain't anybody got it totally figured out. You understand that, right? There isn't anyone got it completely 100% figured out. And so the way that, for me, this is the way I do it. When I fellowship other churches, other pastors, here's the way I see it. You have close-handed and you have open-handed issues. Okay? Now, why are we talking about this? Real quick, let's get back to the text. Why? Because Satan quoted Scripture, but he twisted it. This is a word to us about how to handle different denominations and different teachings and different religions and things like that. Well, this is the way I view it. There's close-handed and there's open-handed. Close-handed means it's non-negotiable. You don't believe Jesus is the Son of God, I can't fellowship with you. You don't believe the Bible is inerrant, infallible, that it is the Word of God, and when nothing left is left standing, the Word of God will be standing. You don't believe that, I can't fellowship with you. I can't understand how people trust in Jesus for salvation, but yet they don't believe the very book in which it's taught. Does that make any sense to you? You'll believe what Jesus says about salvation, but you won't believe that cover to cover? You got some screws loose. There's some problems. There's some holes in your thinking, right? So there are certain close-handed things that it's just, they're non-negotiables. But then there's other things that are open-handed. They are negotiables. Just because you view this doesn't mean we're not going to go to heaven together, right? Now, it might take me and God a while to straighten you out on what you're wrong on, but, you know, I'm joking. So I'm not talking about issues like that, okay? We can fellowship. Our fellowship is in Jesus. Our fellowship is not in our preferences. Does that make sense? It's not in preferences. The fellowship is in Jesus. That's why there are many different churches we fellowship with, churches that are very, very different from us. We fellowship because our fellowship is in Jesus. But you take a church that is very wrong in cardinal truth and cardinal doctrines, couldn't fellowship with them because they've twisted. They've twisted Scripture. Do you know where we get our English word wicker? Anybody got wicker furniture? You know why it's called wicker furniture? Because it's twisted. Wicker comes from that word wickedness. Twisted. It is wickedness when you take God's word and you twist it. And the Bible says we do it to our own destruction if we're guilty of that. So it's important that you understand. You know, I get a little nervous when people come up to me and they're like, you know, I want to study this religion, or I want to know this religion. And listen, I got no problem with you knowing. Matter of fact, I sat down with a brother a couple of months ago and referred him to a book called So What's the Difference? Just because he had an interest. He's like, you know, I want to know what Mormons believe, or I want to know what Jehovah's Witness believe, or I want to know what this believes. Yeah, sure. Know that. No problem with that. But there is a watch out. And the watch out is that you understand there are many groups like that who have taken Scripture and they've twisted. And that's the way Satan works. This is what he tried to do to Jesus. He tried to twist the Scripture to get him to force the hand of God. But Jesus was too wise for it. What did he say? He didn't argue with Satan. He didn't get into some theological debate, although he would have won hands down. He didn't press his side of the argument. What did he say? He said, "Again, it is written." And he pulled from his armory of sword, the sword of the Spirit, Rhema, the many sayings of God. He pulled from his armory from the book of Deuteronomy. You know, scholars believe that Deuteronomy was the favorite book of Jesus because he quoted it. He cites the book of Deuteronomy more than any book that he ever cited while on earth. And they believe Deuteronomy was his favorite. Wouldn't that be worth us reading it and understanding it? Some of you are going, "Where in the world is Deuteronomy? And how do you spell it?" No, he reached in and he pulled the sword of the Spirit. And what did he say? "It is written, you shall not put God to the test." Now, what are we learning in this series? We're learning that the same temptations that Satan threw at Christ are the same temptations he throws at us. He will tell us, if you were who you think you are, then people would like you better. You would have better relationships. You would be this. You would be that. You would have more approval. No, that's not true. That's not true. This is what he tried to do to Jesus. Here's the other thing he tried to do to Jesus. He tried to get Jesus to force God's hand of protection. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what will he do to us? He'll come and tempt us to go into a direction that we try to force God's hand. He'll try to get us to go into an area forcing God to bless what we want to do. Let me give you the worst example of what I see so often. I see a marriage having conflict. I see a marriage on the brink of divorce. And you know what happens so often? A believer will begin to think in their mind, "Well, listen, God just wants me happy. Well, God just wants me happy." Let me tell you the good gospel news. That's a lie from Satan. Amen? Amen? Now get with me on this. It's a lie. Let me tell you what happened 2 weeks ago. Piper, my oldest, she's in second grade now. And we've been telling her for a year. She's in first grade, and we've been telling her all year. Now, when you get in second grade, you can't go back to kids' church for prayer meeting. You have to come out to prayer meeting, okay? So, it's no secret, right? It's no secret. We have told her for a consistent year, when you reach second grade, you're in prayer meeting, okay? Now, Sunday morning's totally different. We want her back there in that environment. But for prayer meeting, they don't do full kids' church. That's what I need to tell you. I called it kids' church. It's childcare. Okay, so for those of you who work in kids' church, it's not that they're teaching anything. Not on Tuesday nights. It's simply childcare. Now, if it was kids' church, I want her back there, but it's just childcare. So we've been telling her for a year, "Piper, when you get in second grade, no more childcare, you come out to prayer meeting." Well, 2 weeks ago was the first prayer meeting. And guess what that little girl did? She stomped her little feet and she cried and she looked at her mother and she said, "Do you even want me to be happy?" But listen, we do the same thing with God. "Well, God, don't you want me to be happy?" Guess what? That's not his agenda for your life. That's not his goal for you, to be happy. He wants you to be joyful. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to be righteous. He wants you to be godly. He wants you to have the fullness of him within you, but he's not going to share it with sin. And so we jump off these plateaus. We jump off these pinnacles and we go, "Well, God just wants me happy." And we jump. And you know what we do? We try to force God's hand. "Well, bless what I'm doing, God. Bless it. Because I just want to be happy." No, don't fall for that lie. Don't you fall for that lie. It's the same temptation he tries on us today. And Charles Spurgeon said it so wonderful. He said, "God don't want you to be happy. He wants you to be holy because holiness leads to true happiness." You understand? So where are you today? Are there lies that Satan's telling you? Quit your job. Jump. Jump. Jump off that pinnacle. Make this huge life decision without praying and seeking God. You and I could go back over so many circumstances of our life, and if we could hit rewind, we would hit it in a heartbeat, because we have jumped without the will of God, haven't we? I've done it and you've done it, right? We all know what this is. But that was back then. This is now. Don't make the same mistakes going forward. Don't carry on these conversations with the devil. Don't carry on these conversations in your own mind. And, oh, well, should I do this? And should you don't do anything until you've prayed and God confirms it in His Word. You understand what I'm saying? I don't care if an angel appeared to you and told you, if it's opposite of God's Word, you don't listen. You don't listen. It's God's Word. What did Peter say? We have a more sure word. And Peter heard the audible voice of God on the Mount of Transfiguration. He heard the audible voice of God. And Peter says, we have a more sure word, and it's the Word of God. It will save us from enormous heartache. It will save us from poor decisions. It would save us from those circumstances of life where we go, how in the world did I get myself into this? It will spare us from that. If we'll listen, if we'll understand how Satan works, we'll read the playbook, we'll understand, oh, he'll come as an angel of light. He'll say, well, wouldn't this be better for you? Wouldn't you be happier? Wouldn't this be easier? That's what we're going to learn next week. He tried to get Jesus to bypass Calvary. And next week's lie is, listen, it's easier. Take the easy way. We're gonna read his playbook, amen. And the next time that he tells us, well, this would be good, or this would be better, or this would be God, well, no, we're not gonna listen to that. We're gonna follow the Spirit of God. And when Satan came to Jesus and he presented this huge psychological lie, see, the first temptation, the battle was in the physical. The second temptation, the battle is in the mental. This was a psychological lie. And when Jesus faced this, how did he deal with it? How did he handle it? He didn't debate. He didn't argue. He didn't converse. He simply said, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Now let me ask you a question today in closing. What decisions are you making that's putting God to the test? What decisions are you making today? It's not God's will for you to do this or to go here or to be a part of that or to join this or to be there or to whatever. What decisions are you making that you are going to force God's hand of protection? That's the temptation that he tried to bring to Jesus. Don't make that enormous mistake. Be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. And I'll just tell you, Satan does not want you where God wants you. You understand what I'm saying? Places matter to God. He created places before he created people, and places matter. You take a pineapple, it's going to thrive in Hawaii, but you put a pineapple in Michigan, what's going to happen to it? It's going to die. You better be where God wants you to be. What are you struggling with today? What are you struggling with? What lie is he saying? Let's bow our heads right now. God, I want to be where you've placed me. I can imagine this temptation of Jesus. He's hungry, literally, physically. He's hungry. He's struggling. For the first time, he's fighting Satan without the presence of the Father. He's on this earth with all this trouble, with all this heartache, with all this sorrow, with all the barrenness, and he's in a wilderness. And Satan is all over him. All over him. If you are the Son of God. Some are already coming to the altar. Let me ask you. How many of you, Satan's all over right now? All over. You're doubting. You're worried. You're anxious. You're fretting. You're overwhelmed. And he's all over you. You need prayer today. Slip out of your seat. Walk down here to the altar. Stand, kneel, sit, lay. Do whatever you need to do. But say, Satan, be gone today. Go. Go in Jesus' name. Go. Go from me. You're not going to have my family. You're not going to have my children. You're not going to have my joy. You're not going to have my peace. You're not going to have my strength. You're not going to have my health. You're not going to have these things. Some of you know over a year ago, I was struggling so hard from my failed surgery, and I was very sick, so much pressure in my eyes, and I was so sick, and Satan was all over me. He would fight me every Sunday. I would get so dizzy when I preached. I was sick. For months, I set a chair up here because I would get so dizzy when I preached. I wasn't dizzy through the week. I was dizzy when I preached. Tell me that's not Satan. And one Sunday, I was so sick, and people were piling in and cars everywhere. And I went out behind the church fence, and literally, physically, I was vomiting. I was so sick. But let me tell you what I told Satan that day. That day, I drug myself in here and I said, Devil, listen, if I have to crawl to the podium and preach crawling, don't you think I won't do it? So here's what I told him that day. I said, you might as well leave me alone, because I'm not going to quit and I'm not going to back up. I'm going forward in Jesus' name. And let me tell you, it left that day. Amen. It left that day. Sometimes you just have to get a bulldog attitude and say, Devil, go, go in Jesus' name. Take your hands off. Leave me, because I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. I'm not backing down. I'm going onward. And some of you are on a seesaw and you deal with Satan's attacks. You put up with his temptation. And today there needs to be a line drawn in the sand where you say, no more. We're not playing anymore. You're not going to smack me down at will. It's over. It's done. And quote scripture at him. Quote scripture. Quote scripture. Quote scripture. Don't argue with him. Don't converse with him. Just quote him scripture. Quote him scripture. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Quote, memorize, believe, apply. Help us today, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. He's a liar today. And God, we believe your truth today. And we accept your truth today. We're going to pray for charity today. If some just feel led to come up and join Pastor Phil, we're going to pray over charity. Something's wrong with her optic nerve, and we're going to pray over that this morning. They're going to anoint her with oil and pray over her. So some of you just go ahead and gather around and pray. And Father, I want to pray for those who are fighting battles within their mind today. Battles within their mind. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Arm yourselves with this way of thinking, the Bible says. Whatever's true, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever is just, whatever is kind, whatever is meek, think on these things, the Bible says. Think on these things. So for those who are battling the enemy in their mind today, God, help them. Help them in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for facing these great temptations to model to us, to show us how to overcome the evil one. For showing us that we are not these helpless, weak Christians who cannot stand against the schemes of the devil. No, we can. We can, just as Jesus did. We can pray, we can fast, we can use the word of God, and we can be victorious. So many people listening to God today, Lord, they've been victims their whole life. They've been victims. Well, we're not victims. No, we are victorious through Jesus. You lead us in triumphal procession. You've already overcome Satan, and you overcome him through us every day. So, Lord, we're not going to live defeated. We're not going to live helpless. We're not going to live with very little strength. We're not going to live that way. We're going to be strengthened in the Lord today. We're going to go forward in Jesus' name. We're going to go forward in Jesus' name. We're going to win victory after victory after victory because we're going to follow you, Lord, in the way you handled the enemy. I thank you today, Lord. I thank you. Thank you for the victory that is ours through Christ Jesus. May we overcome every temptation that comes our way, be it physical or psychological. May we overcome every temptation in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, I hope that the preaching of God's word is strengthening your life out of this ministry called Awakened to Grace. If you are listening to these sermons and you're walking through these series with us, and if it is bringing strength to your life, I would love to know that. We would so love to pray with you. What I see so often in my pastoral ministry is I see Satan bringing people into isolation. So many don't have a church home. They don't have a church family. They don't have a personal pastor. And if you're someone that whether you're plugged into church or not, if you feel isolated, we would ask that you reach out to us and let us pray with you and let us send you teaching. Because do you know how you destroy unbelief? You destroy it with the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And I'm glad that you're listening to these teachings.
If you enjoyed today's broadcast and would like to hear more great content, you can always download our free mobile app, Awakened to Grace, where you can request prayer, find sermons, articles, blogs, music, podcasts, as well as support us financially. You can also visit either of our websites at www.preachingchristchurch.com or www.awakenedtograce.com for more information about our church or our resource ministry. Thank you for listening to Awakened to Grace.